You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
He's here. We don't have to find him. hat's coming off. It's like, it's getting serious.
Well, I realize that the downfall of the hat is I have stuff protruding from my mic stand.
And you've got the muscle memory of, like, I have to be, like, a certain distance from the mic, and now, like, you got something sticking out, so it's like...
It's not working too well for me.
It's like do you ever remember the Stallone movie, Over the Top? Where it's like before he wrestles, he has to like turn his hat backwards. That's like the on switch. So you turn your hat backwards, it's time to go.
Yeah, but then
go.
That's going to interfere with my headphones. I need like a welder's cap or something. Something billless.
Get some of those, how was it, like the Daft Punk helmets.
People would be like, who's doing this recording right now? We have no clue what's going on.
Then it could be anybody. It's like we could like just farm people in. We're like, I don't want to do it this week. Let's get like, you know, these other guys to do it. You just wear the helmets that way.
I mean, that's pretty much how I do it already.
That's pretty much how like, yeah, probably Daft Punk is. They're like, we'll write the songs. We don't want to go out and perform this shit. Like, hey, you random dudes, put on these helmets, go out there and like pretend like you're hitting switches. We're going to go smoke a bowl. Like, okay.
Meh, meh, meh. Ham horn.
Yeah. All you got to do is flip these switches. The tracks plays itself. Every once in a while, hit a ham horn. You're good. No one will know it's not us. Oh, so I'm smoking the Rocky Patel Edge 20th Anniversary Edition, which is kind of ironic because we're also going to be talking about a anniversary on a movie coming up. But like the old, like original Edge is probably one of like the first cigars that I've had.
Dude, I can remember, like, it was always just a big bin of them. They were cheap as shit at the time, and, you know, that was a kind of a go-to for me for a while, probably because that's what you were smoking. I didn't know shit about cigars, like...
And I was just poor, and at the time, they were, like, $5 cigars. But, I mean, now they're, like, fucking $8, $10, you know, they're, like, same as any other premium cigar. But, yeah, the Edge 20th Anniversary Edition has 10-year aged tobacco, Ecuadorian Sumatra wrappers, and Nicaraguan and Honduran binder filler combo. So, the other anniversary we're going to talk about is it's been 40 years since a little movie called The Last Starfighter.
Made me want to go back and play some of my retro games.
Hell yeah, it's like, but, you know, if you've got to take on the Armada, because I can't remember what the damn aliens' names are now, I just watched that. If you got to take on the Armada, call on the Strike Force, StrikeForceEnergy.com, use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. It'll get you all hyped up so you can do a Death Blossom. In the toilet. Oh, that's nasty. But true. We'll be right back with the main show.
Alex Rogan had a dream.
You really are leaving here, aren't you?
To be as far away from here as possible.
You get your chance. When it comes, you gotta grab it with both hands.
It started with a game.
Gonna bust the record.
But it wasn't just any game.
You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
And then one night,
Centauri's the name. We have to talk about a matter of utmost importance. Step into my office. I've seen him come and I've seen him go, but you're the best, my boy. Light years ahead of the competition. Hey.
Alex didn't find his dream. His dream found him.
And welcome back. It's time to join the Star League or whatever the fuck was it called. We just watched this movie last night.
Space Star Force. League.
Yeah.
It's Space Force, bro. I mean, this had a good mix of what sort of felt to me like Tron and it just brought out every urge. Like, it was really hard for me to not go to my storage unit and, like, be like, okay, I got some kind of, like, you know, fight in space retro game. Like, maybe I'll get zapped to, you know, fight in an interstellar war.
Yeah, what was that one that it was like a 2D, like, top-down scroller where it was like you're flying up the screen and aliens kept coming. It was like, but it wasn't Galaga, but it was like you were in like some kind of jet fighter.
Yeah, I remember ahead. That. I just don't
like, I remember playing the shit out of that, which is, but yeah, the last Starfighter, you know, American space opera, as they're saying, came out in 1984. And going back and watching it, like, the CGI, like, early 80s, for the 80s, I'm like, these graphics are actually not, I mean, they look cheesy as fuck now, but 1984 is, like, a small child. I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Well, dude, we had the same thing, you know, the last time you and I were sitting down at the cigar shop, and, you know, Mortal Kombat 95, like, I still love the story
yeah.
and everything else, but I'm like, whoa, that's CGI, bro.
Well, it's almost like intentional, too, because, I mean, Star Wars came out 5 years before this, but they extensively used models and matte paintings, which looked more realistic, where this choosing to go with animation kind of added to that this is a video game in real life. If they had done, like, you know, hyper-realistic models of the Gunstar and shit,
it would not have had
the same feel, where this is like you literally just jumped right into the fucking video game. I mean, this was Ready Player One before Ready Player One.
I'm sure this is referenced.
Or more what was the other book he did, Armada, where it was like kids were getting trained to fight a coming alien yeah. invasion by playing video games.
No, it's Ender's Game, bro.
Yeah, well, that too. It's all the same.
But this paved the way for many,
I've
many
I've read
concepts.
Armada more recently than I have Ender's Game, so I'm like, yeah, this is pretty much all that before they became, like, you know, big movies and shit.
Oh my gosh. huge on.
But yeah, I mean, this had a budget of like $15 million back in the day, but yeah, the alien work too. It's like,
well, I was looking at that and, like, you know, I'm a big Stargate fan as well, but I was like, holy shit, I can see where, you know, a lot of their ideas came from with this film and the makeup and that sort of thing. Like, I don't know, you got some of these aliens and stuff. I'm like, that shit legit looked awesome.
Oh yeah, like, so like the one guy that I forgot what, you know, his alien, the Cthulhu looking motherfucker, that when he goes to the briefing, he steps on one of his tentacles, and the dude's like, "I should fucking smash you." He's like, "Sorry, bro, I didn't see your thing, whatever that is. I stepped on. Hope it wasn't your dick."
Tripping over dicks.
And like, I ended up watching it with Amanda last night, and that one alien too that had like the eyeballs were on the, like, the top of his forehead, and she's like, "He's got a vagina face." And I'm like, can't unsee this now.
Oh god, I didn't put that together until now.
I didn't either until
I just
she brought
visualized
it. Because
it.
He had like the tit eyes on top of his head, and a vagina face.
But I don't know. I mean, I can also see Doctor Who, you know, gaining a lot of inspiration from, you know, a lot of the creatures and that sort of stuff, too. Like, I mean, graphics, you know, yeah, they were cheesy at times. But as far as story and content and enjoyability, like, dude, this Like, watching movies like this is like, that was the fucking heyday.
Yeah, back when movies didn't want to, like, you know.
There wasn't anything political. There wasn't any virtue signaling. It was just
feel something.
It was just like, hey, watch this, enjoy it. We've done some cool, you know, shit that, like, this paved the way for a lot of CGI and everything. Like, I wonder what would happen, like, with a, you know, you think about this in 84, then you think about Jurassic Park in 93 and the advancements in, you know, computer-generated imagery and everything. Like,
I mean, if Wikipedia can be believed, it said, you know, this and Tron were, like, the first movies to use extensive CGI. But, yeah, I was expecting, because, like I said, it's been 40 years. And I remember this being a fun movie as a kid, but I was like, is this going to be like normal old cheesy sci-fi? And then I go back to watch it, and I'm like, oh man, it is cheesy, but they took that shit seriously. Like, they, like, the makeup and the, you know, the CGI was revolutionary at the time, but like the makeup and, like, you know, the aliens and all that other, I'm like, y'all spent a lot of money on this shit. Yeah, there's like, this is not like recycled, like, sometimes you watch some movies, you're like, I can tell what that robot's made out of. That is definitely vacuum cleaner parts. Where this was like, oh shit, this actually, like, looks really cool. Like, yeah, y'all did some good, like, effects work on the, at least, like, the makeup and shit.
Well, that and like, the ships and some of the, you know, off planet bases and stuff like that. Like, once you got to the planet, I was like, oh, look at there. There's Mars, and Mars now has rings. but you know, a lot of the set pieces and everything looked, you know, really damn good.
Yeah, the Star League base, like the yeah, they're fighter squadron. Yeah, I mean, that was just looked so, like, you know, detailed. Like, they really, you know, kind of fleshed all that out. But, you know, to take a step back, you know, if y'all are not familiar with the 1984 classic of The Last Starfighter, it starts off a young kid, or, you know, college age dude getting ready to, like, he's like, man, I'm living in a fucking trailer park. And it wasn't even, like, really, like, trailer park. It was, like, mobile home park.
Well, dude, it kind of gave me, you know, that dystopian-type vibe of...
Very much the stacks from Ready Player One. Yeah. Like I said, this is... you know, and he's, like, trying desperately to, like, I gotta get into college so I can get the fuck out of this town, and I don't just, you know, live life as a handyman at this trailer park. And, like, the one kind of lone escape is there's a... old, you know, back in the day when you didn't have, like, video games on your laptops or your cell phones, you actually had to go out to an arcade. There's one, like, at the whatever snack shack in front of the trailer park. There's the Starfighter video game, and he just, like, plays that shit, like, all the time. And there's one where he's, like, going for, like, the high score, and I'm, like, watching, like, I recognize that look. I remember that look back when I was, like, hardcore into gaming, where you're, like, in the fucking zone, where it's like your hands are almost like, it's like that
everything's of, kind like, of on high. Autopilot. Yeah, like you're just relying on your subconscious to make the next
move. Yeah, where
you're
move. Just like just dead staring, and it's like, you know, people come up and talk to him, he's like, uh-huh, and he's like, just, you know, your hands are almost like moving an automatic, you know. Now I get that when I'm like, yeah, sparring and shit, or I'm like, I'm in the zone.
Auto zone.
He's got the eye of the Jew. That's a Beer Fest reference, if you're unfamiliar. But yeah, when he, like, you get to that, like, focus zone when he's, like, going for the high score, I'm like, I remember that shit. Because back in the day, I mean, games now, they have, like, adaptive AI where they can kind of, there's not really patterns, but back in the day, it's, like, limited.
Yeah, you had memory
space, so it's, like, most of those games were kind of, like, on rails, where there was like a pattern, and if you wanted to be successful, you almost had to memorize the pattern of the game. So it's like, yeah, I mean, what was that freaking Adam Sandler movie where, like, you know, he's like old school competitive gamer and he's talking to like a kid and he's like, how do you play this stuff? Like, there's no patterns. Like, like everything in my day, you like just had to memorize the pattern and that's how you beat the games.
No, the game beats you by crashing. Like at some point, it would just be like, ah, I don't know what to do from here. Blah.
Yeah, there was no end screen. It's like you just keep going until we run out of memory and the system dies.
Be like, did I get that one or two points that I could have potentially gotten? Who knows?
But yeah, of course, you know, Alex, his girlfriend goes off to the lake and he's stuck home fixing old people's cable. And he's a little pissed off because, you know, she got a ride home from a dude. And it's like, oh, yes, this is where he's going to get the high score. I've always played my best games when something had pissed me off. And I'm like, nah, I need to blow up some aliens.
Why can't we ever have nice aliens? Why has it always got to be, you know, the aliens are coming to get us? Like, if they can come to us, they're already far more advanced.
Yeah. Or demons from, you know, somebody opens the Hellgate on Mars and...
And then they just want to play with our buttholes.
What? We're not here to kill you. We just want to touch your buttholes. That's like the one, like, traitor guy that's like, you know, I'm going to, you know, help these aliens invade and y'all make me emperor and I need a scepter. And it's like, that's a big butt probe there. That's going to hurt.
Ooh.
I mean, he's got a sword that comes out the end of it. You don't want to get butt probed by him.
Or do you? Come on, Joe. Little.
Just the tip.
Ooh, spicy.
But we have Lance Guest as Alex Rogan, Robert Preston as Centauri, and Dan O'Hurley as Grieg. And of course, Catherine Mary Stewart as Maggie Gordon, his love interest. So yeah, homeboy gets pissed off, gets like, was it, you know, fucking 900 million points or some shit, 900,000, like, you know, breaks the record on the game. And like most gamers, he's like, yeah, broke the record. All right, cool. I'm just going to play another round, I guess.
Yeah, I did it once. Maybe I can beat my own.
But then it starts glitching. I'm like, yep, that's definitely 80s video game technology. You break the high score and all of a sudden the game starts glitching. But then, you know, dude shows up in a fucking 1984 Tesla. Looked like a, remember the fucking Chevy Lumina vans?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a lowered like Lumina van or something. He's like, hey, who's the guy who beat the game? It's like, he's like, everyone, this is how like slow life is. Like, you're like, Alex is getting the high score. Like, wake up everybody in the trailer park. This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to us.
Yeah, that or, you know, I mean, it's all UHF antennas and whatnot. Like, not a lot happening in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah. There's just a bunch of old guys playing poker and, you know, old women, you know, riding her exercise bike in the yard and shit.
Dude, we're old guys that play poker.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. And if some kid was breaking the world record on a video game, I'd be like, eh, fuck, I'll go watch that. Except now you gotta, you know, go on Twitch or whatever, because there's not really arcades anywhere. If you do, it's like, it's all like basically kid gambling. There's no, like, games. It's all shit to earn, like, tokens and get prizes nowadays. It's just, you know, things to extract money from from children.
What do you think every arcade machine did?
Yeah. But we didn't get prizes. We just got, like, you know, try to get our name on the high score.
Did you ever try the quarter on the string trick to be like, haha, I can glitch the system?
No. We did have some of the... I remember a guy used to have like the slugs. It was just a piece of metal cut out the size of a quarter. Those would work occasionally. You had to get like an old ass game before it would work on 80s games, but you know, it wouldn't work on any of the, it'd work at like the old ghetto games they had at like the skating rink, but you couldn't get them to work in anything 90s and above.
I guess they started implementing like laser tech, or maybe it went by weight. I don't know. I never actually figured out how, like, it distinguished.
Yeah.
But it did.
But I said, this movie, like, probably what got me into gaming as a kid, because I was like, dude, I want to, you know, get recruited to join the Space Armada or whatever. I want to go to the Star League.
Well, we got to go find a trailer park somewhere in a desert. And I guess start practicing.
And you know, this was the 80s too, because, yeah, guy shows up, you know, in a weird ass car in the middle of the night, like, and he's like, hey, I'm looking for the guy who beat this game. And he's like, you're looking at him. Hey, get in the car with me, stranger. And he's like, all right, I guess we're going to talk video games. Nowadays, you'd be like, nah, bro.
We do that all the time, Joe. We literally order strangers in a car from the internet.
Oh, yeah. Remember, I mean, there was this brief period where you did shit like that, and like, this is how horror movies start. And then we're like, we got smart, and it was like, no way, we're not getting in the creepy van. I don't care if you've got candy or whatnot. And then we've gone back to ordering strangers from the internet and getting in their cars. It's like the world is getting collectively dumber. You know, survival instincts are going right out the window.
Wait, you guys are surviving?
Technically? I mean, we are surviving. We're definitely not thriving. We are at the bare minimum for sustaining life on this here planet. Yeah.
We're all gonna die.
Speaking of unrelated, getting into cars with strangers, some car shopping, and the guy at the dealership is like this probably 20-something-year-old kid. I mean, fucking kid. And we're taking the car around the block, and he's like, so, what do you do for fun? I'm like, well, mostly talk shit, smoke cigars, and shoot guns. And he's like, damn, you're cool. I was like, right on, dude.
Now, give me a discount.
Yeah.
God, I'm not looking forward to buying another car.
Yeah, if I didn't have to, I would not have, but... One died,
and another emerged.
The Gray Ghost.
Is that what you named it?
I don't know. I'm still workshopping it.
Seeing what fits.
Yeah. Gotta get some, like, Mandalorian shit to put on it now, just so it's a little more personalized. But yeah, old Centauri, apparently, he's like, yeah, I invented the game. Get in the car. Let's talk about it. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm just locking you in. I'm like, this is my space rape van, and I'm kidnapping you now.
Enjoy your probing.
Yeah, very much like old school Shanghai, where it's like you get a little drunk in the bar and you wake up on a ship. You've been, you know, signed up to the Navy. So yeah, apparently the video game was a recruiting tool for the Star League, but it was not supposed to go to kind of primitive planets. But Centauri sent it to Vegas, and it got lost, and it ended up in a trailer park in the middle of nowhere, California. Designed to test your skills as a starfighter.
I mean, we do that shit with simulators all the time.
I mean, and it's not like a bad plan, because basically, the starfighter is just the gunner. Like, he doesn't have to fly the spaceship. That's what the navigator's for. Like, he's like, I'm the guy who learned to fly this thing and how to maintain it and program it. All you have to do is, like, pull triggers. And this game has, like, trained your fucking, like, you know, honed your reactionary skills to be really good at, you know, being a trigger puller. So it's not like he's like, all right.
Muscle memory and hand-eye coordination.
Yeah,
and,
so it's not like we got to show you up and train you how to, like, be a fighter pilot. You know, that, you know, learning to, like, actually fly is a complicated thing. But, like, if we can just use this video game to train you to shoot stuff, then we can just throw you right into the war.
I mean, that's kind of what they did. Like, like, okay, you're at the helm. Figure it out. Try not to die. If you die, we both die.
Yeah, and of course he gets there and realizes, like, I didn't sign up for this shit. And they're all like, yeah, victory or death. And he's like, no, I got scammed by this alien dude here. I want to go home. And, yeah, they're like, you're actually turning down being a starfighter? Yeah, pussy. Even they find the recruiter. He's like, dude, I don't want to do this. He's like, what are you, chicken? And I'm like, yeah, man the fuck up, Alec. If aliens abduct me and like, hey, we want you to fly X-Wings, I'm like, bet. Like, I'm down.
You apes want to live forever?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, service guaranteed citizenship. Come on, bro.
I don't think they knew that at the time.
Oh, it's the Codan Armada. That's what I was trying to remember.
Codan. It's almost like Sultan.
Sultan. But unbeknownst to him, he's like, you know, they're like, we don't just kidnap people. We leave a robot to fill in for you while you're back home. And when that thing's like turning into like Alex, like he's just been in bed moaning all day. And like, you see the covers come back and he's still kind of like growing and he's like turning. And I'm like, yep, that's what you look like hungover. That's like, that's a, like a Dragon Con morning after we've been drinking till 6 a.m. and try to make an 8 a.m. panel. I've seen that look.
Water. No, we are the epitome of that look. Like, like everybody just shambles. It's not really even walking. It's just
yeah. Those early morning panels. It's like the zombie with like Walker. The line at the two restaurants that like have breakfast in the food court. It's like everybody lined up the hall trying to get into Dairy Queen to get a biscuit, and everybody's just like, I'm still drunk. Or I'm not drunk enough.
Yeah, like, you wake up feeling that way. You just gotta start drinking again. Get back on that level.
Right, secret is bring your own coffee. That way you don't have to go wait in that line at Caribou.
Dude, that fucker's ridiculous.
Speaking of which, they're opening a Caribou Coffee and coming. I was like, I've never seen this outside of Dragon Con. But they're opening one up off X-13.
Seen them around, but I'm not a big coffee guy. Like, I'll try different varieties of Black Rifle, and I like several of the flavors, but it's not one of those where it's like, oh, fuck, I'm awake. Must have coffee, like so many people are.
I don't know. I've developed that addiction, but yeah, I'm never out and about where I'm like, I need to go to a Starbucks. I'm like, I just want my black ass coffee with just a dash of enough cream.
I've learned that there's never a need for me to go to Starbucks. Like, one, I don't care about the coffees and stuff. But then two, like, even, you know, like their fruit ice drinks and stuff like that are so watered down that I'm just like, this tastes like very lightly flavored water with ice in it. No, I'm not like, now Planet Smoothie or a Smoothie King or something. Fuck yeah, I'm all about that life. Like, yes, I want all the frozen fruits, but I don't know. I've kind of been weird lately. Like, I've been trying to cut out a lot of caffeine and sugar and trying to sort of, like, I feel like I'm dropping weight, but want to continue kind of dropping weight?
Yeah, I mean, I just live off caffeine and hate, but I always go sugar-free. I don't put sugar in my coffee. I use, like, sugar-free creamer if I use creamer. I just put just enough to take the edge off, go from, like, you know, murder to contemplate murder, you know, as that meme shows. It's like, let's commit murder. It's like, ooh, this coffee's too dark. Let's think about murder. All right, that's good enough.
The only creamer I need is called whiskey.
A good old Irish coffee. I've done that before. It seems like you get drunk. I don't know if it's like the heat of the caffeine, like it the alcohol gets in your system faster.
Something intensifies.
Yes.
Maybe it's just a combination of not quite being fully awake or whatever, but I don't know. Like, but then I hear about the whole, like, you know, James Reese, you know, with his honey, you know, milk concoction and coffee. Like,
that's
like,
just too much. That's that's too sweet.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I'm not a big milk person, but I love to shit out some honey.
I did. I put some. I tried the spicy honey in the coffee, and that was actually not bad. Anyway, we're way off topic at this point. And typical 80s little brother, like, with his, like, you know, it's pre-internet, so he's got that stash of Playboys. He's just like, fuck, where's June? I need the new shit. And, like, I was like, go to bed, or I'm going to tell mom you're, like, yeah, where your Playboys are. He's like, oh, shit. That was a legit threat back in the day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I used to, when I got my hands on them, like, I had a comic book stack and, like, baseball card Beckett's and everything else, so I'd kind of work them in between the pages of the other, you know, shit, like...
If you had, like, had them in plain sight, you had, like, a stack of, like, you know, Nintendo Power and whatever, like, actual magazines and, like, you know, somewhere mid-stack, there's a couple Playboys stashed in there. You turn them so it's like the pages instead of the spine are sticking out. So you if someone just happened to look, they wouldn't see the name on the back.
Looks like this here has a lot of photographs.
Or I did have, like, I briefly tried to, I got a guitar for Christmas one year, but I never got lessons. So I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. And the amp had a big hole in the back and I would just shove them up inside the amp. That was my other stash point.
Secretly, somebody has picked up that amp and is like, holy fuck, I have a relic.
Yeah, sold it at some point. And it's like, forgot about it. And it's like, somebody finds 80s Playboys stashed in a fucking amp. Should have probably worth something these days. Damn it.
Priorities, bro. Priorities.
But yeah, even the effects on, like, Robot Alex was pretty good. When he's like, you know, thinks his hearing's messed up because he's hearing the, like, fucking distress call thing. He doesn't know the bounty hunters are there yet. And he, like, takes his head off. He's, like, working on his ear. And, like, the other guy shows up and he's like, or his brother, like, wakes up. He's like, what the shit? He's like, hey, you're having a nightmare. Go back to bed. And then he sees, like, the bounty hunter ship landing. He's like, fuck. And he does that, like, stressed out pinch your nose thing, but his head is off. So he's like just sitting on the desk and he's just holding his head and pinches his nose. Fuck.
This is going to be all bad.
Oh. Yeah, so Alex comes back and gets ambushed by the bounty hunters and Centauri gets shot and he's like, yeah, man, don't worry about it. We got a robot here to protect your family. You know, you should go be a starfighter. But unbeknownst to him, the Armada had some traitors and attacked the Star League and blew up all the pilots and all the ships, except for one, the prototype that Craig happened to be working on down in the basement. He's like, yeah, dude, all the starfighters are dead. You're the last starfighter. All right, let's go. Let's go do war. What? I'm the last one? Yeah, dude.
It's going to be fine. You're going to do great.
Is it just me, or did Craig kind of look like a big penis?
Yeah, a little bit, but... I
mean, he had a very, like, penis head.
I mean, but not like cone head.
Yeah. I mean, he just had that, like, ridge.
It's like, oh, you've got a permanent mushroom stamp.
Yeah. He's like, we live in a cave. You know, they're talking about that. He's like, they're like hiding in a cave. He's like, wait a minute. Me and my brother used to play this game called hide and seek. We should, because we've got the only way to take out the Armada is to take out the communication satellite so all the other ships can't coordinate and act as one. But to get to that, we have to go through the Armada. What if we just hide and then attack it from the butt? And he's like, that might work. Too bad we don't have any starfighters here, huh? Maybe there's one left. he finally gets his balls. But yeah, when they're there talking about it, he's like, "What's where are you from?" He's like, "Yeah, this place reminds me of home." He's like, "This asteroid reminds me of, yeah, we like where I come from. We live like underground in caves with my brood
like
of
6,000 fucking kids." Like, does that happen in litters? Like, are you just, you know, that fucking gangster?
I assume it's kind of like, you know,
eggs?
Yeah, like reptiles. Like, usually, you know, it's like snakes usually birth a bunch of fucking snakes.
Spiders.
That too. And he's like, "I'm gonna die with this psycho iguana." He's like, "Do you ever, you know, who wants it?" He's like, "Dude, it's gonna be a slaughter." He's like, "That's the spirit." He's like, no, my slaughter.
Like, these are supposed to be words of encouragement, not words of self-doubt.
Oh, there's a man up, Alex. Oh, yeah, when homeboy, like...
Don't worry. They were best based on stormtroopers. They miss a lot.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was cool, too, when he's, like, first getting kidnapped, and he's in the spaceship ongoing. And Centauri, like, wipes his face, his human face off, and then, like, pulls his eyeballs out and, like, shines them up before he puts them back in.
Dude, you gotta have clean glasses.
I was like, that's a cool effect. I gotta clean up my eyeballs before I put them back on.
If ever I got a glass eye, that would be me. I'd be like, this bitch needs to sparkle.
Or do you remember that movie, speaking of, I guess about early 90s, Last Action Hero? Remember the one guy that had, like, the glass eye, and he had, like, a whole bunch of different ones, so it was, like, the eye was, like, constantly changing throughout the movie. He had, like the yellow smiley face. He had, like, an eight ball. He had, like, all these different... That would be kind of cool if you had to have a glass eye. Instead of making it look like a real eye, just do all kind of weird shit with it.
I'd be like, oh, this is going to be a fun outing. Let me put in my fun eye.
Yeah. When it's just like crosshairs. Right. It's like,
this is a somber outing. I got my teardrop.
I mean, and now today's technology, we could probably like, you know.
Just tattoo that shit.
Or it'd be like some kind of like LCD screen, so you could just like play shit. Kind of like that orb in Vegas. It could, fake eyes. Is, yeah, constantly.
I mean,
changing.
They made a really big spear, or sphere. I'm sure they could make a smaller sphere.
A prototype for that. Speaking of which, how is, out of all the things that have been remade, how have we not gotten a sequel or a remake to The Last Starfighter? Can you imagine doing that with like today's technology? Because you could automatically do like a video game tie-in to go with it. I mean, it's just fucking marketing 101. Like, I'm surprised Disney has not like jumped all into that shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, maybe they just haven't, you know, seen enough of it, a demand from people to be like, oh, we would love to see a modern, you know, retelling of this or whatever. You know, the other thing too is everything nowadays has to have some sort of virtue signal or message, and like, we're just going to piss a lot of people off if we go that route with this. Like,
it's a time we should piss people off. Back to a simpler time. When it was just about shooting aliens in the face.
Save the aliens. What if we are the aliens?
That's how they're going to flip it. It's going to be the Earthlings are now invading, and some alien kid is the last starfighter, and he's got to defend the galaxy from these evil, racist humans.
I mean, there's always two sides to every story.
Like, yeah, we get one from the Kodan Armada's perspective. We're like, hey, those Ryloths are a bunch of assholes. They're like space Nazis. Like, we got to kill them.
I mean, what?
And through the whole thing, you think like they're the good guys, and it's like the invading aliens are like kind of like, you hadn't watched any like the new Doctor Who. But like in one of the new seasons, there's these like really grotesque looking aliens, and everyone's like, oh, they're here to like kill us all. And it turns out like the human person, whatever, was actually like or no, there was a cute alien, and there was these just nasty aliens hunting him, and they're trying to defend this cute little alien, and it turns out, like, the cute little alien was actually, like, Space Hitler, and the nasty-looking aliens were actually some kind of, like, intergalactic, like, police force trying to arrest this guy.
So stop judging books by covers and whatnot. I need to get around to watching some more Doctor Who.
Yeah, I bowed out for a few years there.
Yeah, I did too, and to be honest, I'm not even sure why.
I just got, like, I think I got rid of cable. At that point, there was nowhere to, like, stream it, and it was like, it's not worth trying to find. Like, it's not like, oh, I quit watching when the girl Doctor Who took over. No, I, like, pieced out, like, halfway through Peter Capaldi. So it was, like, before that. But yeah, I went back when we got, like, the three specials with David Tennant, and then I watched this first season of the new guy, and it was not bad. I was like, all right, I'll get back into some Who, especially now that it's on Disney Plus.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Doctor?
Not Watt Who. Not Doctor Strange. Doctor Who.
But he is pretty strange. Are she? They? Them?
It.
Whatever.
Depends on the season. Oh. So, yeah.
I don't know. Like, going back to, you know, your thought of the... you could almost do, like, a trilogy. You know? Or, hell, even, like, four films. One from the human perspective, one from each of the alien, you know, faction perspectives, and then, like, one, like, oh, shit, we all need to come together because we're just going to wipe each other out and nobody's going
to
exist.
There's a third threat that we have to team up to go after. Or even, as has become popular, the late edition sequel, where, I mean, Alex Guest is still alive. At the end of that movie, he goes back to see his family one last time, and he's like, I got to go back because I'm the last starfighter, so I got to rebuild the Star League. We get, like, you know, it's the future, and now he's, like, the grizzled old veteran. Like, he's, like, the admiral of the Star League, and there's some, like, new hotshot rookie that he has to, like, you know, take under his wing and turn into the next badass starfighter.
Which is his brother.
Yeah. I mean, hell is... Cause been 40 years, hell, his brother's, like, probably 50 at this point, so it'd have to be, like, his grandnephew or some shit.
It's like, yeah, there's this game. We're all gonna play it. Because it's literally the only game out there.
Yeah, it's like fucking kids, like, you know, internet's down or whatever, and they're like, they find this old arcade game in a fucking, like, storage unit. Like, whoa. These old coin-op games, man. And, like, some, like, kids from, like, the modern time, like, plug it back in. And, like, it still works. And, you know, they end up, like, you know, signaling the Star League and, like, you know, fucking grizzled old Alex.
Yeah, but nowadays it'd be like, oh, it's VR, blah, blah, blah. You know, going back to that whole Adam Sandler. Pretty sure that was Adam Sandler. I don't know. One of those video game movies that I've long since forgot about. I was like, whoa, it's big-ass Pac-Man destroying shit.
Yeah, I cannot remember. Pixels, that's the name of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Pixels.
That was another one where it was just a fun movie. We don't have a lot of just fun.
It got a lot of hate,
anymore.
Though, too. I don't know. Like, I think people try to read too much into shit sometimes. Like,
sometimes you gotta just turn your brain off and enjoy some shit.
My brain's all... Wait, I have no brain.
We could do that back in
the 80s. What am I even doing right now?
And the music from this, too, like... Even a man was like, this sounds very much like Star Wars stuff. I'm like, of course. Like, Star Wars came out, like, 5 years before
It's
that.
An opera.
It's like, everyone is like, we need, like, cool, like, you know, epic space music.
Everything needs to have all the strings.
I mean, John Williams, like, basically created a whole genre of music that everyone copied throughout the 80s. If it's sci-fi, it's going to sound like Star Wars.
Even to this day.
Whoa. Epic. I don't know how many times the fucking Cantina Band song just gets stuck in my head. I'll be like cutting the grass and be like, dun, 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 dun.
And then like all of a sudden it's like, I lost 30 minutes. Where did that just go?
Yeah.
What happened? You know, like sometimes when you start driving, you get tunnel vision. It's like, oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Did I run all the stop signs, the red lights? Did I just like mow over 37 people?
It's like we're on vacation. It's like we're going on an adventure. You automatically start humming the Indiana Jones theme.
I love Adventure Time.
And Grig reminded me very much of, remember that movie Enemy Mine?
Yeah.
Where, the makeup on him looked a lot like the the aliens from Enemy Mine with whatever Lou Gossett Jr.
That was another great movie.
I mean, there was some good sci-fi in the early 80s. There wasn't all like cheesy sci-fi originals. Like there was some like really good. It's like the renaissance of sci-fi.
And then we got Signs.
God. I think that was like the movie that finally like, I'm not watching any more M. Night Shyamalan films. I fucking hate M. Night Shyamalan. Like, fucking Sixth Sense. All right, that was good. And then everything just got stupid after that. It's like, you got aliens, we're coming all the way to, we're allergic to water. And we're going to invade a planet that's 80% water.
Shut up. That's always been my argument.
The sky occasionally pisses water. But we're not going to have like spacesuits or umbrellas and shit. we're not going to be defeated by a, you know, humans rising up and fighting us off. No.
Just
we're going to get defeated
one
by
guy
the wet
with
season.
A baseball bat.
You just got to move.
Instead
to like,
of getting waterboarded, you get water batted.
You just got to. That's how we're going to defeat the aliens. We're all going to move to like, you know, South America where there's monsoon seasons and shit. And like, we all got to go to the tropics where it just rains all the fucking time. England would probably be good. I hear it rains a lot in England too.
I feel like I'm hungover, but I shouldn't be hungover because I didn't do anything to be hungover. I feel very blah today. Like I feel like that's how I'm sounding, hearing myself in the headset.
That's like your It's a sign of getting older, man. If you drink the night before, even if you're not hungover, it's like the batteries are not charged the next day. It's like when I occasionally drink, it's like if I'm not hungover, I just feel tired the next day. It's like my body's like, bro, what the fuck did you do? You're old. You shouldn't be doing this.
Dude, I did have a fucking epic road trip, though, between Wednesday, Thursday, and coming back Friday. So I think the 20-plus hour of driving.
Cross too many timelines. Dude. Your body doesn't know how to...
Indiana? No, I could never live in Indiana. I was in and out of the central and eastern time zone like 7 times. Like, because I guess we're right there where the cutoff is. But I found a theme park in a place called Santa Claus and Holiday World, and I wanted to go visit it.
In Indiana, that sounds like a weird place to have,
dude,
like,
this entire... the name of the town is Santa Claus. And, dude, like... This would be like the tourist trap.
Did you see
from
Tim
hell.
Allen?
But I was like, whoa, they have a theme park and everything Santa. Like you go into a gas station, there's like life size Santa statues everywhere and stuff. Like
that's weird.
Like you come into this place around, you know, between Thanksgiving and sometime in December, like, dude, I'll get out. Like they have like luxury like Santa, you know, resort type yurts and like, I don't know. My mind was blown. And then a lot of corn.
Yeah, that's about all.
A lot of corn.
Iowa, too, is like, I hear is a lot of corn.
I'm like...
Find some corn holders out there. Children of the corn.
I definitely got those vibes. Like we parked.
Did you get tempted to like, you know, have a few beers and go try to make some crop circles?
No, I was ready to get the fuck out. Like what sucked is we did all that driving literally for 45 minutes worth of work.
Damn.
But whatever. It'd be like that sometimes. But because it was 45 minutes of work, I'm here today and not being like, Joe, I'm in Indiana. I barely get cell signal. There's no fucking way I can remote in.
Well, speaking of returning from an epic journey, when he goes back to the trailer park to like say goodbye and pick up his girlfriend, like all the residents, you know, they're like, fuck, aliens are finally invading, and all the residents of the trailer park comes out, and Granny's got the double barrel shotgun. I'm like, fucking Granny's a gangster. Like, everyone else is like, oh shit. Granny's like, yo, I'm strapped. Fuck these aliens. And if you notice, like, when Grig gets off the ship, and they're like, oh, it's a fucking monster. Like, no, this is my partner, Grig. And he goes around and starts shaking everybody's hand, and he gets to Granny, and he gives her a fucking salute before he shakes her hand. He's like, yeah, I see a fucking warrior here. What's up, Grandma?
Now, I hear you guys have those things called biscuits. Let's get some biscuits going. Oh, we don't have time for biscuits because we've got a fucking slow-ass elevator and not a protractor.
Like, can y'all not just beam me up? No, we got this like fucking slow-ass elevator to get you back on the ship. But yeah, Grandma was a fucking gangster. Shows up strapped. All the other trailer park people are like, oh my god, aliens, we're going to get butt probed. And Grandma's like, I ain't getting fucking butt probed. I'm capping E.T.'s ass.
That's another one I'm kind of surprised hasn't received a remake of some kind.
They did that, like, the anniversary re-release, and they edited all the guns out and made it stupid.
Oh, yeah, they did do that, didn't they?
Yeah, after that, it's like everyone's like, fuck E.T. What about a modern Alf?
Nah, Peter would protest. He eats too many cats.
Yeah. True. Everything we loved from the 80s was too problematic. Everything's retroactively canceled. Speaking of retroactively canceled, I saw some...
Have we been canceled yet?
Nah, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But then again, I'm not even sure people are listening to this. I saw someone, a Tesla truck painted like the General Lee. And I also saw a green version of the General Lee that was a advertising car for a weed company. And it was, it was 420 on the side. And I forgot what flag, it was like a pot leaf flag on the roof.
The coolest Cybertruck story I have is I saw one, and the guy had wrapped it and decked it out to look like a Halo Warthog.
That's the only way to make those things look cool.
Like, I was like, okay.
Turn it into a Warthog and put a fucking 50 cal mount in the back. Then you're cool. Otherwise, you're just like, that looks like something a child that, like, drew. And not even like, you know,
Elon Musk has done is taken all of our childhood drawings ever and been like...
This looks like something that a kid that like doesn't know what a truck looks like drew a truck. Like I said, not even like, you know, the kids from art class. He took the drawings from, you know, the kids in the on the short bus and like, I'm gonna make a car out of this, but I'm gonna make it bulletproof and shiny. I mean, it sounds like shit kids would design. Bro, I'm gonna make a truck that's like all chrome, and then it's gonna be bulletproof.
On the Fury Road.
On the Fury Road.
The War Boys would love that shit.
I mean, they wouldn't have to worry about gas. It's electric. But then again, where are they going to get their fucking electricity?
I mean, they got water.
That's like how many motherfuckers I've seen charging. Like, we got electric trucks, but I'm charging it off this diesel, like, generator.
Yeah, the hotel we stayed at, like, was just south of Nashville. And the entire front section of the lot had been converted to EV charging stations only.
Not a single one
like
in there, was there?
30 empty spaces, like not a single vehicle being charged. Like, yeah, this is wise.
So they need to have. They've got like. The wireless chargers for your cell phone now, where you just like put it on a fucking hockey puck and it charges. Why can't we get vehicle-sized versions of that, where it's like it's just the parking space? You just
God,
pull in.
You just want that much more construction,
and it
don't
charges
you?
Charges while you're like.
Can you imagine
inside
like
inside doing shit?
And that shit's finicky at best. Like when my old phone was fucking up and the charging port was trying to explode and short and catch on fire and shit. Like that was the only way I could do it. But. Like, I'm like, man, I haven't used one of these wireless chargers in a few years. I'm sure the technology's gotten better. No, it still sucked. The only thing I liked it for was it would charge my AirPods. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't need to worry about carrying, you know, Android and Apple cables now. I just charge the AirPods up via the wireless. That was that.
Yeah, because, like, every phone I've ever had, I've had a case on, and those wireless chargers never work good with a case. And it's like, I don't want to have to, like, pull my phone out of the case, like, every night before I charge it. So it's like, that shit's just...
And also, too, because I'm learning I'm pretty much just always going to be on call. So I'm like, fuck, phone's about to die, so I'm, like, sitting here trying to hold the fucking, you know, wireless thing and the phone, and, dude, that adds a whole nother level of complexity, like... That's my stories. This was a great movie. Folks that haven't seen it should watch it.
I don't think we even talked about yet. The weapon of last resort is the Death Blossom, where you just hit a button and we fire all the guns at once and we fucking spin like one of those old school like gyroscope rides you used to see at the fair where they just spin you till you puke. And I was like, how is this not like a ride at fucking Disney or some shit? Because I mean that is like been a hell of a fucking ride to be sitting in that gunner seat while the thing's like spinning in every fucking direction.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, or a teenager, I guess. I don't know. The one time I went to Disney before being an adult, but they had like this, like, 4D theater like thing. So you go in and you know it's a big circular building. And I, you know, this alien escapes containment, you know, so you hear the wings, you smell the breath, you know, and all that kind of, like, that shit was fucking wild. Like, I remember that legit almost scaring the shit out of me, like, more so than, like, any haunted houses. I was like, something could malfunction. We're strapped in. We could all catch on fire and burn right now.
Yep, we're all fucked. Yeah, I remember one of those, like, an early one up in like Gatlinburg, and it was like an aliens ride. So it's like you were supposed to be in like those big armored APZs driving around, and like the seats would all bounce and kind of tilt and shit as the big ass trucks like driving around. And like, you know, alien would get close and it would like blow little like air jets at you and shit. So it felt like the alien was like running past you and everything. That was fun. And I remember like as a, like a little kid, I don't even remember what video game it was, but me and my cousin would be playing that and be like fucking surrounded by it. He's like, Death Blossom, dude, Death Blossom. We'd just start spinning the controller and hitting the fucking fire button as fast as you could. Like, just like, gotta do a Death Blossom.
Like, that's just utter panic mode. Just hit all the things at one time. And secretly, that's how the Konami code was born.
Like, you know, fucking playing Contra or whatever. Like, just jump in fire. Just do a barrel roll. Like, Star Fox action. Because probably Star Fox was my, like, you know, when games had patterns.
Dude, that was super focused, really, I mean, you know, plus two, like, every Super Nintendo was pretty much bundled with that.
Yeah, because I remember, and it was like...
And then, didn't they do a re-release for the Nintendo 64?
Yeah, I think
there's a
64 version of Star Fox. And then there was, like, kind of like a RPG Star Fox game where you were not in the ship, you were like actually like running around a map as Star Fox doing shit. And I'm like, this defeats the point. I want to blow shit up with my ship. Falco!
Flying games are difficult though.
There's one on my tail. And I always played better if I had music playing. If I wanted to beat Star Fox, I had to like put on some like AC/DC and just like crank it up because it was like, I don't know, like the music, like, yeah, shut off the rest of my brain where I could just, like, it's time to, like, you know, get in the zone.
How many more plugs are you going to do for AutoZone today? You know they're not a sponsor yet, right?
Get in the zone. AutoZone. Actually, I went to Advanced Auto last night. I didn't go to AutoZone. I needed windshield wipers. And here's the dumbest thing. I've not been in AutoZone or Advanced, wherever the fuck I was at. Remember, like, there used to be, like, a book where, like, I need, like, this specific part, but it's not one of the ones they keep behind the counter. Let me look up and see what windshield wipers I need. No, now it's a QR code. They're like, need to know what kind of wiper you got? Scan this QR code. And I left my phone in the fucking car, and I'm like, God damn it. So I finally, like, I was like, hey, dude, I ain't got a phone. Like, can you look this shit up for me? Yeah, yeah, okay. So, like, I made them look up those. I'm like, I'm not walking all the way back out to my car just to fucking come in here and look up what goddamn windshield wiper I need.
I've noticed a lot more restaurants have gone to the QR code method for their menus as well.
Hell, a lot of them, like, you fucking, like, pay at the little, like a little fucking box at the desk. They don't even want to take your money anymore. Like, no, use your card, pay here. Like,
pay cool. Now, pay later. Don't pay at all. I'm out.
It's like, why am I tipping you? Because you're doing less and less shit.
Oh, what kills me is, I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, if I've got a server or something, absolutely. Like, but, like, you go to a fast food joint, and it's like, how much would you like to tip? I was like, tip? For what? I'm not even eating here.
Or hell, like, I tried to go into a Taco Bell, and I'm like, I don't want to use the fucking computer screen to order. And I waited at the counter, and they're like, nobody's working. They're like, no, the only way you can get food is to go over there and use the fucking app. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I'm going somewhere else.
I did find I liked the app, though. Like, not the menu order thing, but the actual Taco Bell app, because, like, they do dollar days and shit. So, like, I don't know. I don't remember what day it was, but I got, like, a Mexican pizza and some other shit, and it was, like, $4.
Nice. Let's say, every time I go through a McDonald's drive-thru now, like, will you be using the app today? I'm like, no, I'm in your fucking drive-thru, asshole. Take my order. So, final thoughts on this here. Has it held up for 40 years? Is it still worth seeing if you've not...
From a story standpoint and everything else, absolutely. Now, like... The computer, you know, imagery is a bit dated in a lot of places, but...
The makeup effects, though, still look really good.
Yeah, you know, everything that was done practical absolutely still holds up. But, dude, I was watching this, and, I mean, you know, if you're a fan of the 80s era or whatever and haven't seen this, then absolutely check out, you know,
the movie.
It's like
$4 on Prime. I mean... Fire up a cigar.
Like, what's
pour
crazy
a whiskey,
to me is,
and
we're so willing to be like, I'm gonna spend $4 on a damn near, you know, 40-year-old movie. Like, that tells you right there, it's fucking worth it.
Yeah, and it's like, because if it wasn't worth it, it'd be streaming for free somewhere. But it's one of those views that is like, nope, it's not streaming anywhere. You're gonna have to pay if you want to see this shit because it's
like
a classic.
I mean, I'm sure I had seen this movie at some point, but I did not remember it for shit. So I'm glad that you were like, yeah, dude, topic's this, and you know, I got introduced to a new film.
So yeah, as we kind of wrap this up, final thoughts on this here Rocky Patel Edge. I haven't smoked like the regular Edge in like forever, but it was kind of like one of my original go-to cigars, and like I said, I've kind of moved on to other things but going back to this, you know, it's costs a little more than the old $5 Edge, but yeah, it's peppery, a little earthy, you know, kind of a hit of cocoa, but it's in that medium plus to full strength range that I like with a cigar. So it's like, I remember, like, that's one of the reasons why I started smoking like the original Edge, because like you said, it just came in like a big box, and on the box it said like, warning, for serious cigar smokers only, smoke while sitting down. And I was like, fuck you, don't tell me what to do. I'll take that as a challenge. I'm gonna smoke this bitch and survive. And that's probably why, like, my palate's all fucked up, because I didn't start with light cigars. I just went to the straight to the strong shit, because I'm like, I like a fucking challenge. Don't tell me I can't smoke this. I'm going to smoke too, motherfucker, just because you said that.
At the same damn time.
And their marketing guys are like, ha ha ha, it's working. But that's all we got for you this week. We'll be right back with some science.
Tune in to the Dragon Con Report podcast, your ultimate destination for all things Dragon Con.
Join us each month as we dive into our home away from home and cover the world of con fandom, cosplay, gaming, and more.
With guests each show, behind-the-scenes insights, tips and tricks, and the latest updates on this year's convention.
Whether you're a seasoned attendee or a first-time explorer,
the Dragon Con Report is your passport to the ultimate geek experience.
Join us and let your inner dragon roar.
Welcome back. It's time for some science.
Yeah, science.
Like actual science, not science fiction that we've just been talking about for an hour or so.
So is this like science nonfiction?
See. So, have you ever thought about drinking pee?
I mean, what happens, happens. I guess.
Sometimes you're thirsty up on the tower and you just, yeah. You grab the wrong Gatorade bottle.
You just use one of those filtration straws. It'll be fine.
Try to pee in a life straw, see what happens. Well, new spacesuits inspired by Doom allow astronauts to drink recycled pee.
I mean, there's a lot of fetishes out there.
So, kind of one of the problems of space travel and being, especially like since they're trying to go to Mars and back to the moon and whatever, is having enough fresh water, because apparently and also how to, like, you know, if you're spending hours up to like 24 hours in a spacesuit, what do you do with that pee? Because unfortunately, kind of the current technology is, you know, still using basically super high-tech diapers from the 70s. Which are uncomfortable if you've got to actually use them. And they only carry like a liter of water in their spacesuits, which if you're going to be on a, you know, doing work on a hot planet, it's not ideal. Well, a new prototype that they're currently working on basically has, like you said, a built-in filtration system that filters out impurities and recycles the urine. It has a special kind of external catheter shorts that collect the pee and runs it through a filtration system mounted on a backpack that only weighs 17 pounds and then returns that recycled pee to your onboard drinking bladder.
I'll piss on that.
Quite literally. Studies being done at Cornell Medical and Cornell University, and actually, you know, they're planning kind of, I guess, to test this in the Artemis 2, Artemis 3 missions that will orbit the moon and land a crew back on the moon, and also eventually going to Mars by 2030. And apparently this, you know, basically, once urine is collected, it's diverted into a urine filtration system that recycles it. The system has an 87% efficiency, operates through a two-step integrated and reverse osmosis filtration system.
And now you're only drinking 13% piss.
It removes water from the waste, and a pump separates that water from the salt. The now purified water is then enriched with electrolytes, so they turn your pee into Gatorade and pump it back into your drinking bag. The suit can purify 500 milliliters of urine in only 5 minutes and only weighs approximately 17 pounds.
Instead of Pedialyte, Pissilyte.
No news on... I mean, the study has been, and the prototype has been published in the Journal of Frontiers in Space Technology. No news yet on recycling poop, but they got the water thing taken care of. All right, and now if you want to know if you're smart or not, they have developed a new intelligence test. It's the world's shortest IQ test. It only has 3 questions.
Oh, God, I'm about to fail, aren't I?
So the this test is basically kind of how fast you answer these 3 questions. It's basically created by Yale University professor Shane Frederick back at MIT, apparently. And it basically aims at assessing your gut responses versus your more rational thought processes. So question 1 is, a bat and a ball cost $1.10 total. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost?
All the money.
Do you have a guess?
I didn't even hear the question.
A bat and a ball cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost?
10 cents.
Question 2. If it takes 5 machines 5 minutes to make 5 widgets, how long would it take 100 machines to make 100 widgets?
100.
And 3. In a lake, there is a patch of lily pads. Every day, the patch doubles in size. If it takes 48 days for the patches to cover the entire lake, how long would it take for the patch to cover half the lake?
That was worded very weird.
It doubles in size every day. It takes 48 days to cover the entire lake. How long does it take to cover half the lake?
24.
All right, congratulations. You've got all of them wrong.
Yes.
When I did this, I got like 2 out of 3, right?
Well,
The first question I did not get right. The answer to the first question is 5 cents. Because if the ball costs 5 cents, the bat costs $1.05. Because $100 more, $1 more. The ball's not free, so it has to cost something.
Yeah.
So
adjust for inflation.
And the widget question, it's 5 minutes. Because if it takes 5 machines 5 minutes to make 5 devices, it really only takes 1 machine 1 minute to make a device. So 100 machines.
Yeah. See, I didn't go with my gut instinct.
Take 5 minutes to make a. Make the machines, and
like those are like those are the type of questions like I need to read instead of listen to. Like I always sucked at that when somebody like read a problem and I'm like,
math problems are easier than the fucking word problems.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Where it's like where if I read it myself, I'm like, okay.
And the answer to the last question is 47 days because it doubles in size every day. So if it takes 48 days to increase the entire thing, that was the last day that it doubled. So at 47 days, it was half the lake.
Ah, see what you did there.
But according to the study, only about 20% of the people at Princeton and 48% of the people at MIT were able to answer all 3. So on an average, only 20% was able to pass that test. So if you got them wrong, don't feel too bad. Smartest people in the country, only 20% of them could figure that shit out.
I give 0 fucks anyway.
And cancer patient gets total larynx transplant and first surgery to restore someone's voice. So for only the 3rd time this operation has been performed in the U.S., and it's the first time with someone who has lost their voice box due to cancer. A 59-year-old man from Massachusetts has become the first known person to receive a total larynx transplant, a.k.a. the vocal cords. Patient Marty Keaton basically had his voice box replaced from a donated one from a a corpse, so it's not a bioengineered box. This is replacing parts from a donor. But yeah, this is the first time this surgery has been done with someone who required a tracheotomy.
That's kind of cool. That's a good article to see.
Yeah, so it's like, basically it's kind of, they're saying it's similar to doing any kind of like kidney transplant or something like that. The 21-hour procedure pioneering microsurgery used to reconnect the nerves that help control swallowing and vocal cord movement. And his first words were, "Hello." What up? But he has since relearned to swallow, and his speech continues to improve. So he doesn't have to do the full, robot voice. I wonder if, it doesn't say in the study, but I wonder if his voice changed. It's because a totally new larynx and shit. I wonder if, if that, completely
you get a,
changed.
You get a, now you speak with a British accent or something. Yeah.
Or it's all of a sudden you got a high-pitched voice or some shit, they took a lady's voice box. I wonder how all that shit works.
I don't know. You better ask them the three questions. Maybe they can tell you.
Yeah, you end up with a fucking accent.
I'd probably end up with one of, a fucking dog, so I just...
Or it's you end up with a fucking Chinese accent, and everyone thinks you're racist because you're constantly speaking with a Chinese accent. You're like, no, dude, fucking doctors did this shit to me. I'm not racist.
Oh, God. That's gonna be your bad Russian accent.
Yes, I'm going to get the Russian voice box, and then everyone, I'm like, I swear, I'm not Russian. The fucking surgery did this. Comrade. I'm totally not a Russian spy. And then finally, unfortunately for dogs and cats in Europe, UK has become the first European country to approve the sale of lab-grown meat. Not for humans, but it can be used in cat and dog food.
Can't we just stop?
So UK-based company Meatly is now authorized to sell pet food products containing cultivated chicken meat. And hope to start selling the product later this year and plan to scale up operations to reach industrial volumes within the next 3 years. The process starts with a small sample of cells taken from a chicken egg, which are then fostered in an incubator that controls variables like temperature and acidity. They also provide the cells with vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, allowing them to grow until they become meat, but not an animal. So it's not like Beyond Meat, where it's, some weird chemically produced shit, but it's still meat, but it's kind of grown and not
it's
birthed.
Not.
It's, yeah, I'm,
it's going to be some kind of overly processed, overly, something like animals that were living, 14, 15, even longer, suddenly
We'll get mutant three-headed dogs and shit. Fucking dog-sized cats.
Dogs are just gonna sniff it and be like, "No, I'd rather eat the cat shit."
Yeah, he's like, "Bro, I lick my balls and I won't eat that shit." That's what the dogs would be like. Nah, bro, this is. I'm gonna go eat out the garbage. This is suspect. But that's all I got for you this week in science. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
This is going to be a very trailer-heavy filled news, so stay tuned for all topics.
Yeah, summer's been a good month for new trailers.
Well,
everyone's prepping for the late summer, early fall movie.
It looks like we're just going Halloween, so I'm going to jump right into it. You know, we got our first trailer for Hellboy, the Crooked Man, and
yeah, it doesn't look campy like the other Hellboy movie. And I suppose this one's done by like the original writer, the guy who wrote the came up with Hellboy, the comics guy, and it's looks very much more like horror esque.
Yeah, so you know, Brian Taylor, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, Crank. He was the co-director, and this was written by Mike Magnolia and Chris Golden. Like,
set in the 50s too, which is an era we've not watched.
And in Appalachia of all places.
Yeah, we get hillbilly monsters.
Yeah. Those hills do have eyes. but yeah, basically...
Hopefully you shoot somebody with a banjo.
Kind of the gist is they discover a small community haunted by witches, led by a local devil, and they have a connection to Hellboy's past, the Crooked Man, and this will expand Hellboy's world through one of the most beloved issues of the comic series.
This one kind of popped up out of nowhere. I didn't even hear they were doing another...
Yeah, I mean, I knew a little bit about a project in the works, but I hadn't really followed it too closely, so...
Because I didn't... You know, the last movie wasn't... I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad, but I think it kind of bombed in the box office. I don't think we're getting another David Harbour Hellboy sequel anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is touted to be, you know, moody, very dark, and creepy, no gloss, you know, I mean, definitely that's the vibe I got from the trailer.
Yeah, like it very much kind of goes back to the comic book horror origins and not as flashy as some of the cinematic Hellboys we've gotten.
But yeah, I think as of right now, we just know that it's supposed to be slated to release sometime later in 2024. We shall see.
Yeah, no set date yet.
Another kind of sort of creepy, I guess. We got our first trailer for Marvel's Agatha All Along, The Darkness Takes Hold.
If you remember Agatha being the bad guy from the Scarlet Witch Disney Plus series, now she's getting her own run.
Yeah, basically, she's going to set off on a dangerous and adventure-filled trial and tribulation.
On the witch's road.
Yeah. She finds herself down and out of power after a suspicious goth teen helps break her free from a distorted spell. I don't know. You know, with Beetlejuice looming, do you think they're like, oh, Beetlejuice is doing a thing. bring back all the goths.
Yeah. Witches are popular now. We gotta goth it up.
So, yeah, basically Agatha and this mysterious teen pull together to despite a desperate coven, and will set off down the road.
Yeah, this is kind of that Marvel cliche of turning former villains into now good guys. So I wonder if she's going to end up in the Thunderbolts, their, you know, villain superhero team they're putting together.
Yeah, that's that I'm not sure of. The only thing I do know is this is going to be another one on Disney Plus where your first two episodes you'll be able to see September 18th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and then from there, you're going to be waiting.
Yeah, with the fucking Disney week-to-week bullshit. Hell, Netflix is... They're kind of leaning toward that. Instead of doing week-to-week now, they're splitting all their seasons into two parts, so you get half the episodes all at once, and then you got to wait another like 2 months to get the next half of the episodes, which I think we didn't talk about, but Cobra Kai, I haven't started watching it yet. Like, the first half of the last season dropped this week, and then the second half is not coming out until, I think, November 15th now.
so far away.
Yeah, so by December we can do all of season six of Cobra Kai.
Well, I already kind of touted it earlier, but we have another trailer for Tim Burton's Beetlejuice, and you know, Michael Keaton is back.
Damn, he looks good as Beetlejuice.
Yes, like, he looks like he's having a great fucking time in this trailer.
He's just getting to have like a renaissance. He's like, I got to play Batman again, and now I get to play Beetlejuice again. He's just like going through like his highlight reel of like.
Yeah, so, you know, we did get some, a little bit more story detail in this trailer, as Beetlejuice and Lydia find themselves teaming up to help find and save her daughter in the afterlife. Man, it sucks to be the Dietz family. So, looks like they're going back to their original home in Winter River, still haunted by Beetlejuice. Lydia's life is turned upside down when her rebellious teenage daughter, Astrid, discovers the mysterious model of the town in the attic, and the portal to the afterlife is accidentally opened.
Damn kids and their weird.
Now we got trouble in, you know, the Earth Realm and the afterlife, and I guess it's only a matter of time until someone says Beetlejuice's name three times.
Oh, shit, you just did it, dude.
Hey, I'd welcome that motherfucker. Let's go have some beers, bro. So, yeah, the mischievous demon returns to unleash his very own brand of mayhem. We've already, you know, hinted at Keaton, but also we got Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, Justin Thoreau, like Jenna Ortega, of course. And
yeah,
then
she's
William
the new
hotness, Dafoe. So, dude, I'm
yeah,
really looking forward to this one. This is going to be another one. You know, it'll be released in theaters September 6, 2024. September's going to be a hot month, bro.
Yeah.
And keeping right along with the horror theme, here we go again. You know, we got our final trailer for Alien Romulus. And this looks like it's going back to the, you know.
I watched that first, was it prequels, the Prometheus, but I've not watched any of the other, like, Prometheus movies. But yeah, this looks like it's gone back to that claustrophobic, stuck on a spaceship with an alien.
Like the true isolation,
yes.
You know, horror,
just dark and claustrophobic and like OG, but now it's not just one alien. They got a whole fucking space station full of these bastards.
Yeah, and
the horde
we're back
of fucking
to
facehuggers running down the hallway. You're like, oh fuck. Where's my plasma rifle, bro?
I don't know. You know, it's crazy watching the chick light herself up, and you see the fucking chest burster. You know, about to rip through, and supposedly that's supposed to be like one of the cringiest scenes in the film, according to the director. So I'm like, I think I would have just kept, you know, that whole thing on lock, but you know, maybe there's a level of brutality or something that we haven't seen before that, you
finish
know
him.
But
and
yeah,
then the predator shows up.
But so Romulus is going to be set between the events of Alien and Aliens, and follows a group of young people on a distant world who find themselves in a confrontation with the most terrifying life form in the universe.
And I've already seen their plan, because now the fancy thing for movie releases, if you see it opening weekend, is custom popcorn buckets. I've already seen the Xenomorph popcorn bucket. It's just a Xenomorph head. It looks fucking awesome. I'm like, I don't normally go places that have the special buckets, but I'm like, I may have to go down to like an AMC for this one just to get the Xenomorph bucket.
Yeah. Looks like Ridley Scott's also a producer on the movie. We'll see August 16th, 2024, just how brutal this thing really is.
Oh, yeah.
And to switch gears a little bit for some other badassery in a whole nother direction from the folks at Marvel, we've got, you know, Captain America, Brave New World, and we get to see the motherfucking Red Hulk.
Fucking fine. They've been cock-teasing that for, like, ever, like since fucking the original Hulk movie. You're like, Thunderbolt Ross, he's been showing up in all these movies. And apparently he's finally made it to president. I do like the joke, because the actor who played the original Thunderbolt Ross and all the previous films has passed away, and they've replaced him with Harrison Ford. So, like, one of the first things when you see Sam meeting Ross, he's like, I'm not getting used to this. I'm still getting used to this new face, sir. He's like, yeah, I had to use the mustache or lose the election.
Yeah. It's funny how politics works. But, yeah, dude, you know.
Looks pretty fucking action-packed. Now, I do like that they've made Sam's suit look a little more Captain America. You know, it's not that white suit from Captain America and the Winter Soldier. It's like, it looks more like a regular Captain America suit, just with wings.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, fucking Harrison Ford is Red Hulk, though, like.
And fucking, what's his name, Giovanni, who's like in everything, and like the fucking Mandalorian and the Boys, he's you know, him like shooting a fucking shotgun, and I was like, all right, looks pretty badass. See what his character be in this new movie. It looks pretty fucking action-packed. I'm kind of looking forward to this one.
Well, I don't know about this release date, but you know, February 14th, 2025, I guess, you know, if you and your lovers and enjoy America, you enjoy superheroes, it might be a good way to spend Valentine's, but
yeah, that's romantic. And, you know, Disney has said that, like, all right, we've kind of released a lot of shit stuff lately, so we're cutting back. We're not doing, like, five movies a year. We're going to, like, start concentrating on quality over quantity. And this looked potentially like, all right, maybe I'll doing some good shit, because this looks pretty
action-packed. Well, I mean, there for a little while, dude. Like, I love a good superhero.
The post-Infinity War era has kind of been a little
weak. It just got ridiculous. Yeah. Like,
So between the Disney Plus series and the movies, they were like just shoving a bunch of shit out, and it wasn't all the best shit. So
yeah,
it's like,
you know, there's something about, you know, quality over quantity.
I mean, they're pretty good. I've not seen one that I'm just like, absolutely, like, that's horse shit. But yeah, it's not been up to the levels of like the pre-Infinity War Marvel. And I'm like, all right, yeah, slow it down a little bit and make better shit. I don't need five movies a year. Give me like two good ones and I'll be happy.
Well, speaking of another good one, and Ridley Scott, yet again, we've got our first epic trailer for Gladiator 2.
Oh, yeah, the Coliseum scene. I mean, the
dude,
full-on, like,
the
naval battles and shit in the Coliseum. Awesome. I'm like, holy shit, this looks fucking badass.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, when I first learned that they were going to do a Gladiator, I was like, why? The first one is just so classic and timeless. But, you know, now that I've seen the trailer, I'm like.
And Denzel is kind of like the, I don't know, the string puller, you know, yeah, Denzel does not make bad movies. I mean, he just looks so good in this role. Just, I'm like, I can't wait. And we got Pedro Pascal as like the, I guess the Roman general or some shit.
But
I still don't know how it ties to the original. I mean, you see Max, you know, the new gladiator getting like Maximus's sword and shit.
Yeah.
But
so this is, you know, going to take place, it doesn't say specifically, just years after Maximus gave his life under the leadership of the decadent and corrupt society. The sequel centers on Lucius, the son of Lucilla and nephew of Commodus, the son of Roman leader Marcus, who was murdered, who murdered his father and seized the throne. Commodus met his downfall in the gladiator ring against Maximus, who, despite being mortally wounded, took down the emperor before passing on to reunite with his family. Maximus had saved Lucius and his mother, leaving a lasting impact on the young boy. It's explained that decades have passed, and Lucius has come of age far away from his mother while he was still a child. Lucilla sent him to the northern coast of Africa, bless the rains, to a region called something that at that point was just outside the reach of the Roman Empire. So this is going to begin with
the kid coming back to take his fucking throne.
You know, the kid living a peaceful life with his wife and child until conquerors from his homeland begin to encroach. The film begins with the raiding party of the Roman fleet, which comes from the sea and decimates Numbia, and it's going to be gnarly. So,
yeah, I can't wait. I hope it's just as good as the original. And that trailer looks pretty on point to make that happen.
Well, this will be happening just in time, right before Christmas. November 22nd will be our release date if nothing changes between now and then.
Kind of the meme going around is how often do guys think about the Roman Empire? And it's, I guess those numbers are going to go up now.
Yeah, for sure. Any other news, tidbits, anything you want to share with the folks at home?
Ah, that's like all I got for you. We're, you know, a little less than 2 months out from Dragon Con, and we'll be there doing our usual shenanigans. Say what's up if you see us. Come smoke cigars with us at the Red Phone booth. Or any other of the times we're smoking cigars out back at the Hilton. Yeah, that's the one we're usually smoking. I'm like, which fucking hotel are we smoking at? Oh, yeah, the Hilton. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESONetwork.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X at CigarNerdPod. We're on the YouTubes at CigarNerdPodcast on YouTube. Get your shirts at Real Men Smoke Cigars. Get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com. Promo code CigarNerds. And
welcome, Starfighter. You have been recruited to defend against the Kodan Armada.
Death Blossom.
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.